Today's shiur is the Shabbos Chagadol Drasha that was delivered to my congregation in Cincinnati in the year 5770. Its title is Harba Banim, the four sons of the four children, Mevucha Mishpachtit Veliturgit, familial and liturgical chaos. I think we all are aware of the fact that one of the most beloved aspects of the Haggadah that we read on Pesach night is the element of the four sons. And if you think about it, obviously the question of the Russia of the wicked son sets the whole tone of the Seder, it would seem, somewhat differently. Everything seems to be going smoothly. The family is there together. Everyone hasn't seen each other in a while. Kiddush is made. And suddenly, someone asks a question that is uncomfortable. And an answer is given that is pretty harsh, as we shall see. And as one of my students once said in one of my adult education classes, it's no wonder that you have the Chacham, who says something very wise, and you have the Rasha, who says something which is very startling and even frightening in terms of the response. And it's no wonder, this individual said, that the next son just says, "What is this?" And the last son has nothing to ask, because after all, after they have seen what's happened to the Rasha, So, any more questions, the father says? The Tom says, just tell me what this is. And then the other one says, no questions at all. So certainly there is a chaotic element that has been introduced into the evening by the presence of the Russia, who we will evaluate more fully in a few moments. But perhaps, as you will see, is even a greater element of chaos is the way in which the Baal HaGadah, which really have its sources in Chazal, connect the four sons with their different psukim in the Torah, as we shall see. Let me begin by saying that we are considering in this drasha not the level of drush like myself and many other rabbis give every year from the pulpits concerning the four sons and the lessons that can be learned from them. I love doing that, and of course it's so wonderful to come up with some new idea every year, but that is not what we are considering. We would like to look this year at a more pshat level understanding of what has happened from the Torah perspective of the four sons until they make their way to the Haggadah. Let me only initiate the drasha in terms of sources with the Abravanel in his Zevach Pesach, who points out that this simple little model of the four sons, something that we look at, maybe even have fun with, was taken very seriously and very deeply by many of our commentators throughout history. So he points out, the Abravanel, Kivar hishtad lua mefarshim lahaskim ela arba banim im arba yisodot. He says that one approach of scholars has been to the four sons, that they represent the four elements that went into and go into the creation of the world, as put forth by the ancients, Aristotle and others. So those four elements we know are generally water, fire, earth, and air. I can't be sure because he does not bring down the exact details, but we might say the Chacham represents water, because water represents Torah, that the Rasha represents fire, because fire we know can be dangerous, can be destructive. I don't know how we would understand the simple son and the one who doesn't know how to ask, I would imagine maybe the simple son represents air necessary for life, and the lower son, the one who does not ask, perhaps represents the earth, the very basic bottom element of the world. But he goes on to say, "V'acherim ratzu lahaskimam keneged avot, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and David." He says, in fact, others wanted to say that they represented the forefathers in David HaMelech, the four sons. Uva chacham api midat chesed. The chacham represents chesed, that's Avraham. The rasha, he says, represents midas hadin, right? Strict judgment upon him for what he has said. And Yitzchak represents the notion of din. Yaakov ishtam yoshev ohalim represents the tam. Mishenu Yodeli Shol is Keneged David HaMelech, who says in Tehilim, Ki ani ve'evyon ani, I am nothing. What can I say? I'm a nobody, and that's the Eino Yodea Lishol. But the Avrabanel says, Hadvarim ha'ela rechokim imeni, but these things are distant from me in terms of the true understanding of the four sons. So what does the Avrabanel explain? Something just as deep, if not deeper. He says, V'deat ha'davar b'ichrachato v'shlemu tiyeh b'chol arba'a sibotav. Hachumrit, v'yatsurit, v'yapoelet, v'yatachlitit. The Abravanel says, and I believe this is also based on Aristotle and ancient wisdom, that the four sons represent four different levels of understanding, four different approaches to knowledge. He says there is the chumrit, which represents the material or the physical. There's the tsurit, which represents the formative, taking the material and then giving it a tsura, giving it a form and a context. The apoelet, we would say that can represent the notion of something put into action, the utilitarian aspect, the practical aspect of something. And then we have the tachlitit, which I would call the theological aspect of something, that is to say, the purpose of this element. And says the Abravanel that the Chacham has all four of these aspects, including, most significantly, wanting to know about the purpose and the goal of these mitzvot. The Rasha is asking only about three, leaving out the ultimate goal and purpose. The Tam is asking only about two, namely the physical and either the active, or, and the one that does not ask, so he's only a state of physical existence without any type of further development. So we see how seriously from this Abravanel our tradition has taken this simple notion of the four sons that we read in our text. The Haggadah Shlema by Rav Kasher, a beautiful Haggadah, mentions and discusses the differences between the source of the Mechilta, where the four sons are mentioned, and the Yerushalmi, where they are also mentioned. And so, for example, where we have the differences most clearly indicated, where we have the opening to our statement in the Mechilta and also in our Haggadah, Arba banim heim, echad chacham, echad rasha, echad tam, v'echad shino yerishol. In Yerushalmi it says, Tanar v'chiyah keneged arba banim dibar Torah, ben chacham, ben rasha, ben tipesh, ben shino yerishol. For in Yerushalmi, the tam, who some identify not only as the simple son, but as we saw, as the son who is pure, as the son who is like Yaakov and Ish Tam, a complete person, an Adam Shalem, if you will. This is totally opposed by the language in the Yerushalmi, who says that such a person is a tipesh. He is a foolish person. And Rav Kasha brings down in his footnotes that this is also seen in the Yalkut Shimoni. And this is also the language of Rashi to Shemot Yud Gimel Yud Dalet, where he says, Mazot, in commentary there, he says, Zetinok, he says, V'tipesh, She'eno Yodea Lahamik She'elato. He says that this refers to the foolish child who does not know how to give any depth to his question. So that is significant in terms of the differences there. The Chacham, also very different, the Mechilta versus the Yerushalmi, and both of them internally. Chacham Ahomer says the Mechilta, Ma'idot ha'chukim ha'shpatim asher tzivah Hashem Elokeinu Otanu. Fascinating. We know one of the great kashas everyone asks on the Haggadah is that it says the Rasha excludes himself by using the words we will get to momentarily of Lachem. What is this to you, this Avoda? And therefore everyone answers, you know, has to answer the question, but the Chacham also says Etchem. He also says, what is this to you? And then there are famous answers that are given that the Chacham, for example, the Gra says, included Elokeinu in his question where the Rasha didn't. But really, according to this, the Kasha is not a Kasha at all. Because in fact, the Chacham does say Otanu, according to the Mechilta, according to many ancient Haggadic texts. By the way, the Yerushalmi as well also has the Chacham saying Otanu and including himself. So the whole Kasha falls according to that Girsa. Moreover, very fascinating. The Mechilta says that you respond to the Chacham how? Afata petachlo. You open him up. You open him up. What's it mean you open him up? That's, we know, what was always said to the one who doesn't know how to ask. You open him up because he does not know how to ask any questions, so you have to open him. You have to initiate the response on his part or the learning activity on his part. But you see also by the Chacham it says that you open him up. And presumably I imagine that has to do that since the Chacham asks a certain level of question, so you open him up to all varieties of ideas and thoughts that he is capable of handling even beyond his initial question. Similarly, in the Yerushalmi, as another distinction, what do you answer according to the Yerushalmi to the Chacham? You say to him, "B'chozek yad hotziano Hashem miMitzrayim miBeit Avadim," that God took us out with a strong hand from the house of bondage. And yet we know, of course, from our familiarity with the Haggadah, that that is, in fact, according to our tradition, the answer that is given to the Tam, to the simple son. Continuing with the distinctions, the Rasha, according to the Mechilta, is similar to our reading in our Haggadah, except that at the very end, the Mechilta says, and you will note the difference from our text in the Haggadah, "V'avur zeh asa Hashem li b'tzeitim Yitzrayim." You tell him that God did this for me when I went out of Egypt. Li below lecha. Ilu hayita sham, lo hayita nigal. The way it's in the Mechilta, it's in a personal setting, a familiar setting, that the one who is responding to the Rasha's question is speaking back to him. He says, God did this for me and not for you. If you would have been there, you would not have been redeemed. Where we know, of course, according to our text, it says, leave a low, low. He did this for me and not for him. Talking impersonally about the Rasha, and we'll have more to say on that in a moment. The Yerushalmi also, in a fascinating take upon this, expands upon the Rasha's question, Ma avodazot lachem, and goes on to say, Ma toreach hazeh sha'atem matrichim aleinu b'chol shana v'shana. What is this work, this burden that you bother us with every year, year in and year out. And the Mefarshim say, by the way, that from this we see that you should not say, "Ugh, getting ready for Pesach, what a tarach, what a burden it is to have to get ready, why do we have to do this?" Because that's the approach of the Rasha. But again, this greater explanation of this filling in of the very terse statement of the Rasha is done by the Yerushalmi, which of course is not a part of our Haggadah text. And then, in a very strong language, the Yerushalmi says, "Bavur zeh asah Hashem li." Li asah, right? God did this for me. He did this for me, and we had the Mechilta b'lo lecha, not for you. And we had, in our text, as we know we have in our text, li b'lo lo, me and not for him. And what does Yerushalmi have, pray tell? It says, li asa, he did it for me. Bavur za asa Hashem li, b'tzeiti b'mitzrayim. Lo toa ish, lo asa. But for otoa ish, for that man, referring to the Russia, for that man, someone suggested maybe in my shir that this has to do with the fact that they don't want to call him a Russia, but I don't think so. I think we know lo toa ish. Otoa ish is a very strong element in it that we know it refers to Yeshua Nasri and then his foreign, you know, unidentifiable state with the Jewish people. Otoa ish, that man. That's what you call someone when you don't want to even identify him. In fact, in the time of Rav Kook, people used to call him, those who were anti-Rav Kook, they would call him Otoa ish, the fanatics. Otoa ish. Unbelievable. And yet we have that in our statement of the Yerushalmi. The Tam in the Mechilta is just almost like we have in our Haggadah. The Yerushalmi, however, says, as we mentioned previously in the introduction to this, Tipesh Mahu Omer. What does the Tipesh say? What does the foolish son say? And then they have a different answer than the one that we usually give to the Tam. They say, "Apatal lamat we made hilchot a Pesach, shein matirim achar a Pesach apikoman." Amazing. They say you teach to the Tipesh what we have is being taught to the Chacham. Isn't that fascinating? And what we have is being taught in our tradition to the Tam. We saw that's taught in the Yerushalmi to the Chacham. There's a switch. Fascinating. Furthermore, the Yerushalmi goes on. Shelo yehe omeid v'chavura zu v'nichnas l'chavura acheret. That you also tell the Tipesh, the foolish son, the ignorant son, that you're not allowed to be eating in one group of people and then go to another group of people to eat your Korban Pesach. It has to be done, as we know, in the setting of one chavura, of one group. So it seems here that the Tipesh, even though we're calling him that instead of the Tam, does have some knowledge that you can explain some basic halachas to him, ones you can even explain to the Chacham, according to our reading of the Haggadah. And the Sheino Yedei Lishol, where we have Ad Patachlo, that is the same basically for the Mechilta and the Yerushalmi. Again, fascinating contrasts which are in and of themselves liturgically significant and very fascinating in terms of their contrast. I would not say yet, however, that it's chaotic. That is yet to come in a moment. But before we do that, actually, let's do it now. Let's take a look at the way our Haggadah has the Arba Banim compared to the way in which its source from which it gets the Arba Banim, which is, of course, the Torah, puts down the answers to the questions of the four sons. So, for example, the Chacham, which, by the way, we have coming first in our Haggadah, as do the other sources we saw from Chazal and Mechilta and Yerushalmi. Yet in the Torah it comes last. It comes there in Parshat Vayechanan. Now compare what the Torah has to what we have in our Haggadah. The Torah says, Ki shalcha bincha machar lemor, when your son will ask you tomorrow, saying, Ma ha'idut v'achukim v'amishpatim asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu etchem. What are the statutes, the judgments, the testimonies that the Lord our God commanded you? So first of all, you see it's very fascinating that for all those people who ask the Kasha, that the Chacham also says etchem, just like the Rasha said lachem, and then they try to answer it up. What do you want from the Chacham? The Chacham is quoting the Torah itself, Rabbi Osai. It says etchem. It says etchem. It's such a plea atzuma, an incredible question, that why is it that we have in the Mechilta and the Yerushalmi that they change the reading, Chazal change the reading to Altanu? What is it that the Lord our God has commanded us in terms of the Eidot Chukim v'Mishpatim? It's a plea. Because the way we have it in our Haggadah, Etchem, is in fact the way the Torah has it, the original source. I would suggest that basically what is being said, perhaps, to answer this Kasha, is that since we know, and I will take a hint from the Malbim in his beautiful Hesber, in order to answer this question on my own, we know that the Malbim says that the reason that the Haggadah of all things, instead of choosing the book of Shemot in order to tell the story that night of the redemption, which would be the obvious choice for anyone, we know that instead we have as our proof text the Parsha of Ki Tavo and Bikurim. Why is that? So aside from the fact that some suggest, because Pashut, that's much shorter, it's a summary statement, it can be done more easily, it can be handled in an evening. All of the book of Shemot, obviously, and certainly even the beginning parshas that tell about the Exodus going from Shemot to Bo, to Vaera, to Bo, to Bishalach, obviously that cannot be handled so easily, that lengthiness of the narrative. But aside from that, the Malbim has the most beautiful explanation. The Malbim says that the reason that this was chosen as the text for the Seder night is because since we know that in every generation a person has to see himself as if he personally went out of Egypt, so thereby the Baal HaGadah or Chazal put down the narrative through Ki Tavo, which is said in the first person. And thereby, when one tells the story in that first personage, he is fulfilling in that very telling this concept of seeing it as if he himself, personally, went out of Egypt. And so I would suggest that so too here it is possible to say, like the Malbim over there, that the idea in terms of why the Mechilta and why the Yerushalmi changed the writing of the text from Be'etchem, which it says in the Torah, that like a Kri and Ksiv almost, that even though it says Etchem in the Torah, that nonetheless, when it's read Pesach night, it should be read with Otanu, is again so that person will fulfill, and the Chacham understands this, the idea of seeing it as if he personally went out of Egypt. And this will be significant later on as well, when I try to give some deeper explanation to some of these issues. The fact that Chazal took here a basic theme, and were willing, because of the obligation of that theme, to even change the text, as it were, in terms of how one tells the narrative, we will see that as well, I believe, in a few minutes, in another context. Going on with the Rasha, as it is brought down in the Torah, About the Rasha, it says, this is in Shemot Yud Bet Kav Vav, Vayak Yomru Aleichem Beneichem Ma Avoda Azod Lachem. It shall be when your children shall say to you, what is this service to you? V'yamartem, and you shall say, Zevach Pesach Hu Lashem. It is an offering of a Passover sacrifice to God. Asher Pesach Al-Batei B'nei Yisrael B'Mitzrayim B'nei Kvoet Mitzrayim, who passed over our homes when he slew the Egyptians. Very strange. This is nothing like what our statement is, we know, and our response to the Rasha. We will see this again in the Mefarshim and how we deal with it. Another, again, plea that it is, both the Chacham and the Rasha have the language changed in the Torah, have it changed by the Baal Haggadah and Chazal from what it was in the Torah itself. Mentions nothing in the Chacham about the Afikoman, in Machar Pesach Afikoman. It doesn't mention anything like that. You say it in Hilchos Pesach, it doesn't say that. Just in the simple opening to the Chacham. And again, the Rasha certainly does not give the type of what seems like an angry response that we know we give to the Rasha. Here it seems the Torah is very calm. And it says, you tell them that this is Zevach Pesach in a very calm manner. The Tam and the Einu Yodei Lishol are basically the same in terms of the Torah and their transformation in the Haggadah. Now let's take some look into the insights concerning these changes of the Torah and how the Haggadah has it. First, looking at the Gra. The Gra says beautifully, Dikdek Baal Haggadah Psukei HaTorah Shebechol HaTeirutzim Shelagim Obanim Ketiv Hagadata Livincha V'Yamarta Eilav V'Yamarta Livincha V'Kan Eitzel Shelat HaRasha Lo Ketiv Lo Livincha V'Lo Eilav Rak V'Yamartem Zevach Pesach. It says, the Gra points out that in terms of the Rasha, as opposed to all the other sons who are directly spoken to, Levincha, you say, Elav, and so on. But by the Rasha, you don't speak, it seems, directly to him. It says nothing like that. It just says, V'yamartem, you shall say it. You shall say it, says Zevach Pesach. What does that mean? The Gra explains, V'hainu she'ein ha-Torah, Chafsa Shiashivu the Rasha. Because this is telling us the Torah did not want an answer given to the Rasha. Ushiyadavru imo klal. The Torah did not want that you should speak to the Rasha at all. Rak amra Torah shitomru vaderach klal. V'yamartem zevach Pesach. The Torah just wants that you should speak in general terms. You should say a statement. This is the Passover sacrifice. Kilomar, that is to say, Shemitzvah lamar zevach Pesach ulashem. It's a mitzvah to say that this is a Passover sacrifice to God. The Kalatei with Tarasha Amar Sha'apatak E et Shinav. And here what it says in our Haggadah, it kind of fills it in a little bit to say you set his teeth on edge. Kilamar Bazeh Lo Tashiv Lo Klal. This is saying do not answer him at all in terms of his question. Lo Tadaber Imo. Do not speak with him. Rak Ima Acher Hayoshev. Just with the other person who is sitting there with you, should you speak. Ki nistama yeshlo od b'nei bayit. Because, of course, there are other people there at the Seder with the person. V'zeh ha'afer lo sha'al klal. V'chein meshiv lo teirut sho'eno yodei lishol. And others there who are not asking the questions. So you respond to them with the statement, Bavor ze asa Hashem li b'tzeiti mimitzrayim. Now, in other words, that answer that we say, which is the same one, if you ever noticed, that is given to the Rasha as to the one who doesn't know, that's because the Gra is saying it's really just given to the one who doesn't know, because he is the one who is being addressed. The Rasha is not being addressed at all. You say, therefore, Bavurta Asashem Li Velo Lo, God did this for me and not for him. Bilashon Nistar, this is not like the Mechilta we saw where it said Li Velo Lecha, for me and not for you. No, the Gra says the way we have in our text, of course, is you're not even talking to the Rasha. Kilomar Ala Rasha, Vima Yamida Berima Rasha Yatsari Chlomar Velo Lecha. So you don't speak to the Rasha at all, you just make a statement of faith. When he asks his mocking question about this waste of time, as we saw was expressed more fully and written in by the Yerushalmi, what is this you do every year, this nonsense, this work, this burden you put upon us? The Gra says, you don't answer the Rasha. You turn away and you almost say, do you hear what he said? And then, my children, here is the answer. And you don't respond to the Rasha. You ignore the Rasha. You don't answer a Rasha. A very fascinating notion here. Do you answer a Rasha or not? And I must tell you, it is very interesting to me that the Vilna Gaon himself, and maybe this is where he learned it from, we know that in his time, the Baal HaTanya, the first rabbi of Chabad, wanted to try to make peace and harmony between the Gra and the Hasidim. Of course, the Gra, we know, excommunicated the Hasidim, hated the Hasidim. But the Baal HaTanya attempted to meet with him to discuss matters, to see if they could work things out. And the Gra refused to meet with the Baal HaTanya. I've heard various reasons. Some say because of the glory, if you will, the face of the Baal HaTanya glowed so with light, was so full of mystical Torah that, who knows, maybe the Gra thought he would influence him. Others say that the Gra felt that even to have a meeting with someone with improper views, that when people walk out afterwards, they may say things that were not accurate about what was discussed. And then people may say, oh look, they met, they worked out their differences. Better to say, the Gra felt that this is a war that cannot be ended, that there is no way to reconcile, certainly in his time, Hasidus with what he felt traditional Torah Judaism represented. And consequently, he said, let's just leave it at that, not have a meeting wherein it would be interpreted in an improper way by those on the outside. But you see that the Gra himself, following the very model he explains here, says that you should not even confront the Rasha. You should ignore the Rasha. You should not speak to the Rasha. You should not answer the Rasha. You should only answer his questions. Yes, that you should do to others, so they should not be misled and improperly influenced, but not to the Rasha himself. Rav Soloveitchik points out in his Siach HaGrid, his commentary on the Haggadah, Hinei Ayein BeRashi Ala Pasuk, Vavor Zeh Asah Hashem Li. He says, look at Rashi on this verse that is quoted for the Rasha, who writes, Remez Tshuva Leben Rasha Lomar Asa Hashem Li Velo Lecha She'ilu Hayita Sham Lo Hayita Kedai Lehigael. Soloveitchik notes that Rashi has the reading that we quoted from an earlier source, the Mechilta, who said that you do speak personally to the Rasha. And consequently, says the Rav, Kavanato lomar de be'emet onim leben ha-Rasha, delo ka'agra. Rav Soloveitchik says, therefore you see, according to Rashi, that you are supposed to respond to the Rasha and not ignore him, which is not the view of the Gra. Rav Soloveitchik then adds that the Rambam, he believes, supports the view of the Gra. Now, in the Rambam, if you look in his Nusach HaAgadah, found at the end of Hilchos Chametz Matzah, so there the Rambam basically brings down the same text we have in terms of the Arba Banim. But Soloveitchik is referring to the fact that if you look at the Rambam in Hilchot Chametz Matzah, Perek Zayin, Halacha Bet, so there the Rambam says as follows, Lufi Dato Shoben Aviv Melamado. According to the knowledge of the child, does his father teach him? Ketzad, how so? Imaya Katan, if the child was very young, i.e., this would mean probably one who could not ask questions. O tipesh, or he was the foolish son, which we've identified with the tam. Some have the reading tipesh. Omer lo, then he says to him, Bini kulanu ayinu abadim kemo shiv chazu o kemo eved zeb mitrayim ubalayla zeb padau tana gadosh baruch v'yatzein l'cheirut. So the Rambam says that apparently you're not supposed to just say, it would seem he's telling us, the answer that's supposed to be given, as we have it in the Haggadah, to the Arba Banim. You're supposed to expand upon that idea. That's just the basic thought. So to expand upon that idea, as he says here, that you should do for the Einu Yodei Lishol and for the Tipesh. V'imaya ben gadol v'chacham. And he says, and if the child was older and he was wise, modiu ma she'ira lanu b'mitzrayim v'nisim she'naseh lanu ayidei Moshe Rabbeinu, then you should reveal to him what happened in Egypt and with all the miracles that occurred through Moshe Rabbeinu. By the way, you should note from this, as I've indicated in previous shiurim, that the idea that Moshe Rabbeinu's name is basically not mentioned except for one place in the Haggadah, and even there it says Vayaminu Bashem Moshe Avdo, it calls Moshe the Eved Hashem, so Moshe does not get any credit on his own, so that Moshe is basically excluded from any important role in the Haggadah. That which we say such a thing is true, however, that's only because on a basic level we don't want people to get confused. For those who are on the levels, the proof is here from the Rambam I am pointing out, there the Rambam does say, in fact, that one should tell the wise son or someone who is capable of discerning the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu did the miracles without saying Moshe Rabbeinu is God or some divine figure, then he should be told of the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu and his role in the redemption. In any event, L'chora, says Rav Soloveitchik, Tzarich bi or lama hishmit harambam et hatshuva leben harasha. Isn't it interesting? In Hilchot Chametz Matzah, the Rambam describes how you answer a very young child, a foolish child, a wise child, and that's it. He leaves out the wicked child. Ulefi divrei Agra yitpa'er heitev. The Rav says, but according to the Gra's explanation, it is very clear, it makes a lot of sense, it can be understood. Teme'emet ein mishivim leben harasha klal. Because you know what? In truth, we do not respond to the Rasha. Rak mishivim lebanim acherim. We only respond to the other children. Because only the other children, let's understand it, were asking a serious question. We're asking a question that they really cared about. The Rasha doesn't care. He's just asking to mock. Therefore, you don't answer him because he doesn't care. Lahachi hishmira Rambam and atshuva leben harasha kevan de'ein mashivim lo. That's why the Rambam left out the Rasha from his consideration of how the father teaches his child, because according to the Gra, the Rambam feels the same way. You do not respond to the Rasha. He's not deserving of your time of a response. He can listen in to the answer. They want you to answer him, but that answer is given to the others at the table, and if the Rasha wants to listen to him, well, good for him, but we are not going to address the Rasha head on and specifically. Now, when this was said in the Shabbos Agato Drasha, there were those, especially some psychiatrists, who very much objected to this notion of the gra. They had a great deal of difficulty understanding how it could be that if a rush asks a question, that you don't respond to him. This particular psychiatrist, Dr. Klafter, a chaver of mine, asked that, you know, any parent who would do such a thing, we would consider to be a terrible parent. Any parent, if his son would ask him a question, and he would just ignore him, or he would not respond to him directly, but just kind of say to the other kids, did you hear what so-and-so asked, the Russia? Did you hear what he says? Children, this is what you should do. This is what you should understand. And just ignore the troublesome son, that would be seen as problematic. Although I will present a view of another one of my congregants, Pammy Samuelson, who she very beautifully said that she has recently read in books about parenting, that in fact there are those who say that the wicked child, or if we might say it in another way, the child who is misbehaving or has done something wrong. So she read, she said that later knowledge suggests that you should not respond to him directly, just like the Vilna Gaon says, that when he does what he does, let's say to someone else, he hurts someone, whatever he does, you should in fact ignore him. You should go to the victim, give him all your attention, give no attention at all to the Russia. Whatever you say, you want to let the Russia listen in. Why did so-and-so do that to you? He's such a bad boy. You shouldn't have done that. That was wrong. This is all said to the other child who's suffering. You do not say it, she said, according to these works, to the Russia. The worst part, the worst punishment can be this type of tough love where he is ignored. And it seems that this is what the Gra is saying, although again, the Gra is saying it despite the fact, as we have pointed out, that the Torah itself seemed to be willing to respond, it would seem, to the Russia. But we will see, in a sense, it's not the case. And again, that's not the Gra's problem. The response by the Torah to the Gra, to the Russia, and the change in tone that was done by Chazal themselves is later put down as well in the Haggadah. It's not the Gra's fault. But the Gra is taking this notion to a very huge step and answering for us on a theological level how you respond to a Russia. Of course, you have to know what a Russia is. We know that the Chazon Ish of all people said that in our time we really don't have a notion of an apikoros, a notion of a Russia. In our time, he said, well, we don't have outright miracles that can convince people. We have a different aspect. It's, you know, Chinishva. We do not have the classical Russia. Maybe the Gra would say that as well in terms of dealing with people in our time. But nonetheless, it's a fascinating discussion, which is a machlokas rishonim, Rav Soloveitchik said, based in understanding this Gra, between the Rashi and the Rambam in terms of how you respond to the Russia. Do you respond to him directly with an answer, or do you ignore him totally because of the way he has asked? The Meshech Chochma, going further with this thought in the same vein, at the end of Parshat Bo, says, Hitonena Shebechol Abanim Keti Kishalcha Bincha Lemor. The Meshech Chochma points out, you note that by all the sons, it says, when your son shall ask you, saying, Levad behaben harasha, except for the wicked child. There it says, Vehaya ki yomru aleichem b'neichem. There it says, first of all, when your children shall say to you, which is also, I think, indicated in the Gra, they're not asking, they're just saying, they're just stating it, they're not really asking. Velo ketiv lemor, and furthermore, it doesn't say that the word lemor afterwards, v'hu al pi drashat dir drashat ha-sifri reishu et chanan lemor in v'et chanan, where Moshe Rabbeinu says that he wants to go into the land of Israel and he asks for God's grace to allow him to go and he pleads with him. There it says lemor, saying. What does that mean? The Medrash says, ha-shiveni tshuva, give me an answer. When Moshe says lemor, he's saying, I'm pleading you, lemor, say this to me, give me an answer. When the Chacham asked his question and the Tam asked his question, they wanted to know. Ritzonam ladat v'lishmoa tshuva. Ki otahi mevakshim. They want an answer when they ask their question. Lemor. Give us an answer. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu wanted an answer. It says when it says lemor. Lokeina Rasha. Sheshelota maha avodah azod lachem. It's not the case of the Rasha who says, what is this avodah to you? Hu rak loeg ala avodah. He's only mocking this. Shiladato davar batal. According to him, this is something that's been wiped out. It has no meaning. Hu rak loeg ala avodah. He's only mocking this. Ve'ein ritzono b'tshuva lehosiv dea. And he doesn't want an answer in order to enhance and increase his understanding. Kilo yachpots kesil b'tvuna. The foolish one, this wicked one, does not want an understanding of what's taking place. Britzono hushiya kushiya aluma kadeshiya halag chazak. And he wants the question to be very powerful, so powerful that the mockery will be even greater. Ulachain lokativ kan lo sheila velo lemor. And that's why it doesn't say that the Rasha asks the question. Because he doesn't ask. Because he doesn't want an answer. And he doesn't say anything more looking for an answer. He's just stating something in order to upset you. That's why you don't respond to him. It's a waste of time. If someone comes and they're fooling around, they ask you a question. They say, how about this, Rabbi? How about this? Would you respond to him? Or might you understand somebody saying, you know, so-and-so, when you're going to ask seriously, let me know, and then I'll respond to you. But to just answer a person who is just fooling around, and certainly if he's wicked and he has no desire whatsoever to get at the truth. So, like Rav Chaim Soloveitchik said to the person who had hashes, and he wanted answers. So remember, Rav Chaim said, you don't want answers, you just want terutzim. You're not really interested in the truth. You're not interested. So, again, to the Rasha, the same idea, this tone and approach is taken according to the Gra by Chazal and the Baal Haggadah in their transformation, it would seem, of what was in the Psukim, putting it down into the text of the Haggadah. The Maharal points out, interestingly, in these Dibrei Nagidim, which are, I think, his legitimate comments on the Haggadah, the sort of machloket about the full perush of the Maharal. The Maharal says, "Bekevan she'eino yodei lishol hu lo rachok harbeh mimadregat harasha." Since the one who does not know how to ask any questions is not too far away from the wicked son, av shelo higia od elav liot gam machti et acherim log me'avodatam, even though it's true that he's not yet reached the level where he has others look at this as well and tries to mock this and have others mock it and become sinners as well. Aval halo gam hu. Nonetheless, behold, he also, kevan she'eino shoel klal, since he does not ask at all, ala mitzvot, concerning the commandments, nira she'ein lo shum shayachut ala mitzvot. It would seem that he has no relationship to the commandments. V'yalkein shapir shayach elav zo atshuva ba'avur za'asa Hashem li b'tzed Mitzrayim. That's why, says the Maharal beautifully, why the same answer is given to the Rasha as is given to the one who does not know how to ask. Ba'avur za'asa Hashem li b'tzed Mitzrayim. Ve'overro b'chashkut lekach chelek mitzvot ha'elu. In order to arouse him in the desire to take a portion of these mitzvot. Ulahavino shekoach gadol sheyesh lahen shebaoveru haitagula, and to make him understand that because of the great power that was inherent in these commands from Hashem, that it's because of these that the redemption could be aroused. Bimishma mutap. Says the Maharal, and if the one who doesn't know how to answer will listen to this and connect to this answer, fine. Vim lav. But if not, says the Maharal amazingly, Yomar lo gamkein, bidiyuk hazeh she yomar l'rasha. Then you should say exactly, even the one who does not know how to ask, presuming obviously this is not a kid, you can see that it doesn't necessarily mean a kid. You obviously, what do you want from a kid if you can't talk it, if you can't ask questions? But someone is talking about surely who does not know how to ask because he has no connection to Yiddishkeit, as he said. So if he does not connect and not care and not get involved in this answer, then you say the same thing that you say to the Rasha, Li velo lecha, which is also the reading you see of the Maharal, the personal statement that you do answer him. Li velo lecha, ilu hayita sham lo hayita nigal. You say to him directly, the one who does not ask, the same thing as you would say to the Rasha. We see again something very important we've learned, the idea that the answers that have been given to the four sons are not meant to be the complete answer. You're supposed to go on and give more. You're supposed to fill in the open spaces. They're just kind of basic content that you say to the questioner, but they are not at all supposed to be the fullness of the answer to the question. And now going further with that thought, that the idea as to why, and this is our great kasha really, why we are saying there's liturgical chaos. The idea that you have the Torah put down the psukim at once to be read for the Chacham and for the Rasha, and that the Chazal in the Mechilta and the Yerushalmi and other sources as well, and then the Baal HaGadah put down different psukim than were brought by the Torah. This is a plia atzuma. How could it be? How could it be? It sounds like happy courses. All you had to do was cut and paste. You want to find this son, you go to him, you find him in the Chumash, you cut it out, you put it in the Haggadah, done, finished. Instead, changes were made in the Psukim in terms of the answers that are supposed to be given to those who are questioning. How do we answer that? So we said already, point one, that the answers that are given are not supposed to be the complete answers. They're answers given beyond what the Torah says. What the Torah says and beyond that. But why is that? What is that based upon? And here we will suggest two answers to give us a thesis for understanding why the psukim were changed in terms of the Chacham and the Rasha in their journey from the Torah to Chazal to the Haggadah. The first answer is that of the Maharal. The Maharal says the following. Da ki kavanata doresh kachi. This is the intent of the one who has provided this answer. Shema shenia hachuva haketuva etzel shelat hachacham shiabadim hayinu lepar mitzrayim. The reason why he did not give the full tshuva which began with abadim hayinu, hu mishum shezeh pasuk bilvad eino ikar hachuva lachacham. Because while of course it has to be said, I mean it has to be, you know, mentioned, you know, why what is this? Well, you know, God took us out of Egypt and so on. But that's just kind of something that's, it's like we'd say to someone, I presume you know this and that, and he'd say, of course I know that. Of course the Chacham, if he is the Chacham, knows this. Ki ha-Chacham shoal v'doreish v'choker l'dad ma-hema ha-idid v'achukim mishpat m'ashrei tziva Hashem. Obviously the Chacham already knows the earlier stuff. He's asking much deeper stuff. V'hu shirotza l'itchachem v'chukei ha-Torah u'v'mitzvoteha l'havinam k'ra'ui. He wants to understand all the mitzvot of the Torah properly. V'im nashuv lo amasa asher kara galut ha-geula. And if he tells him what really happened, just in terms of the story, hello, zot yodea mikavar, that he knows. Ela dekavanata tshuva k'tuva v'Torah etzlo. He nimshechet ad achar ha-pasuk v'yitzavenu Hashem l'atzot et kol ha-chukim ha-elo lirat Hashem elokecha v'chulei. If you look at the answer given to the Chacham in Parshat Vachanan, it's not just as we seem to think. Avadim hayinu leparo mimitraim otziano Hashem Elokeinu bisham biyad chazaka v'zroa netuya. That's not the only answer, or even, says the Maharal, the main answer that is given to the Chacham. What does it say? It says, furthermore, in the text, V'yamarta levincha v'nami avadim ayinu parah mitraim az Hashem mitraim miyad chazaka v'yitein Hashem otodu mofetim, and God gave us wonders and miracles, gedolim v'raim v'mitraim, great and wondrous and evil upon them in Egypt, before v'chol beitol einenu, to par when all of his household to our eyes. Votanu hotzi misham lemane aviotanu latet lanu et haaretz asher nishba labotenu. And he took us out of there in order to give us the land that he promised to our fathers. Vitzaveinu Hashem lasod et kol hachukim ha'ele. Only then do we get to the fact that God commanded us to do all of these statutes and judgments. L'yirat Hashem Elokeinu, to fear the Lord our God. L'tov lanu kol hayamim l'chayotenu k'hayam hazeh, in order to allow us to live throughout all these days like this day, which is Dakati Elanu, Kinishmor Lasoda Kol Mitzvah Zobikna Hashem Elokeinu Makashet Sivanu. And God will also grant us that which is righteous if we are careful in guarding all of the commandments which He has given us. So we see that the answer to the Chacham goes on with many, many more psukim thereafter. What's the idea of this? So the Maharal says, V'chol achukim ha'ela hu kol el umarbe Kol Hilchot HaPesach HaKatub BaTorah. By doing this, he includes all of the laws of Pesach that are in the Torah. V'heina mekubelet v'al peo v'kol yilam dehu kevan shechacham hu. Tein l'chacham yichachem od. A chacham is someone who knows something, wants to know more, who's always searching more deeply. So even though the basic element is given as a response initially, you have to give more and more and be marbe for the chacham. V'achukim shel Hilchot HaPesach HaLoheima Ikar Tshuva. The main answer to the Chacham is the extra stuff. Lebena Chacham Tzarich Lamdam Ulahakimam, and you have to teach him and make him wise. Pavadima Yinushi Iskir Betchila Hurakat Kalada Tshuva. Pavadima Yinushi is just the beginning of the answer. But you have to be marbe. You have to increase the answer that is to be given to the Chacham. And that's why he adds, it says, V'afata amor lo v'kilchot Pesach. And furthermore, and even you give him the teaching of these laws. M'nei kizah Chacham rotze losif b'chokma ladat. Because he wants to add, he wants more, therefore you give him more. L'kach al t'himo ne'abo mimenu rak afata ta'seh k'mo shasahu. Measure for measure, like he wanted more than really was expected, then you give him more than was expected to be given to him from the pasuk. You give him all the rest of the chukim and everything else that is to be studied of the Hilchot HaPesach. That's what the Maharal says. What does the Maharal mean by this? Can we even understand this more deeply? I think we can, based on an idea that I once gave in a Shabbos Haggadol drasha, which I learned from the very beautiful Haggadah of Yaakov David Hamnick. In that Haggadah, Marvelous Sapir, he discusses an idea which I then, as I said, developed of Torah Taribui, the law of excess. What does that mean? If one thinks about it, one recognizes that the Pesach holiday differs from the other regalim in the notion of it being excessive. What do I mean it's excessive? I think it's obvious to all of us that there are so many things we do on Pesach that are beyond what is required. Even in the very nature of the God itself, we say, V'chol amar be'lesaper harezeh meshubach. Whoever increases on telling the story, this is praiseworthy. Well, why do you have to be marbe? What's the idea of being marbe? So too, this whole idea of the shiurim that we have to fulfill for the eating of matzah, for the drinking of abakosos, for the maror. I mean, there's no Blumenkrantz book, let me say, for all the other holidays. It's only for for Pesach, in terms of the smallest bit of chametz being a problem, and therefore you have to, every little bit has to be watched out for, and therefore it applies to all so many types of products. Even in terms of eating the Korban Pesach, where it's achila ala sova, where usually, you know, you finish, have a nice meal, you're done, you're not supposed to get too filled up, and so on. But here, the Korban Pesach, after you've already eaten this nice, wonderful meal, then you still have to eat the Korban Pesach, today represented by the Apikoman, according to most. So consequently, it's an entire ritual involvement of being marbe, of going to excess. And why is this? Why should there be such excess? Generally, Judaism is against such excesses. In fact, I might even suggest, if it's not too much of a drasha, as we said, we're not going to give drashas, but maybe this was the real question of the Chacham and the Rosh, what all these Eidos, Chukim, Mishpatim that God commanded us. And the Rosh says, Ma avodaz alachem? What is all this avoda? What is this? It's crazy. All this excess. Who hasn't felt this way? It's too much. All this ribui. Why is this? Why should this be the case? We tell him, Bavur Zasa Hashem Libetz Mitzrayim, that God did this when I came out of Egypt. What did he do? What did he do? So here, as again, Marva the Saper points out beautifully, Rashi says, if you recall, when the Jewish people, at the very beginning of Parshat Shemot, when Paro decided that he was going to already begin wiping them out, why did he do so? Because he said, Pen Yirbeh, lest they become many, and then they gather together with our enemies and they fight against us. And Rashi says there, according to Medrash, you say, Paro, Pen Yirbeh. And I say, God says, Cain Yirbeh. So shall the Jewish people increase. You want to try to minimize the Jewish people, to reduce them? I will show you how, in fact, they will increase. So this was the very yesod of the growth of the Jewish people in Mitzrayim and their ability to break down, eventually, the boundaries and to go against the enslavement, the idea that they were not constricted by only certain limitations, but they could be marbe, they could go and increase beyond that. And this is part of the notion of freedom. When we are marbe lesaper, as the name of Rav Hamnik Sagada says, when we are marbe and go beyond what is required, so this is an expression and reflection of the notion of cheirus. And thereby, I think this is what the Maharal is saying, that the Chacham is asking his question, and we are marbe in accordance with that theme that we've expressed in order to answer him. And so too, he says beautifully, the Maharal does. The Rasha, it's the same thing. Don't forget, some of the Farshim point out, the Rasha is really a Chacham as well. The Rasha is responding to the Chacham's question. The Rasha, to be a Rasha, you have to know, Chazal tell us, what the Torah means. Can't be a Tam or an Eo Dei Shul. You have to know. Aval Rasha, says the Maharal, Belag Yidaber Mavodazo Lachem. He asks in a mocking way, Kilomar Lama Lachem Zo Dumato Elat Yagi Lachem Mize. What do you get out of this? Hareshu Motzi at Atzmo Min HaKlal She'ino Rotzel Asok Bavodazo B'mei Kalut Erecha Beinav. He thinks it's worthless, he doesn't want to get involved. V'zeo Shomar Gametz Lo V'af Ata. And that which it says, even by him, just like Brother Chacham, the same language, V'af Ata, and you even say to him, or even more so, you say to him, Kolomar, Kimo Shehu Mitchazek Umosif Berishato, just like he strengthens himself and he adds on to his own rishus, Liloeg Minacherim Osim Avoda, to mock others. Forget your own disbelief in this, your lack of emuna, but he mocks others when they are involved in it. He goes beyond, therefore, the pale. He wants to not only sin himself, but convince others that this is worthless. Kain gamata tosif lo ala tshuvak tuvava Torah etzlo. Therefore, also add on in the same theme, we want to say, to what he is told to do in the Torah. Shua pasuk yamartem zevach pesach hu Lashem. You shall say beyond just the pasuk. Of course, you say that pasuk. You tell them that this is what the sacrifice of Pesach is, and that's why we do it. That is this avoda. Of course, you say that also. These are just footnotes. These are just notes that you respond to him with. It's not not the total answer that you give. Then Vahake Achinav, then you hit him in the teeth, Amar Lo, oh, then beyond this you say, Gama Pasukakatu Veitol Shenu Yedeli Shol. Also the verse that said by the one who doesn't know, Vitidro Shlo Mida Keneged Mida, and you give him measure for measure, leave below low. This is what he did for me and not for him. Tachad Ma Shamar Lachem below low. Just like he said, what is this for you, excluding himself? Vizeu Kavanata Darush Vamru Vi Afata. And this is what it means when the Dore said Afata. Even you tell him this beyond this. Kalamar Gamata Tosi Falav Devari Milavada Ketubi Metzlo. You shall add on to the things that are said to him. Aval Bitam Ukashenu Dishol Lo Amar Va'af. But it does not say Va'afata that you should add on when it comes to the time and the end of the Yishol. Kein Tzarich Losif Klal Etzlam. You don't have to add on to them because they asked appropriately. Rak Yomar Lehem Atshuva Ketubah Etzlam. You only say what is said to them in the Torah. A beautiful explanation by the Maharal in going with our theory that I learned from the Marvel of Saper of the idea of Torah Taribui, the concept of excess in Yetzias Mitzrayim and in its ritualization in remembering our journey from Avdut L'Cheirut. In fact, it's even added by Rav Hamnick, of course, in the very events of Yetzias Mitzrayim. You had Ribui in terms of the number of plagues that took place. But that Ribui, he says, was a Ribui, and this is the Chiddush, where Paro and Mitzrayim only saw Ribui multiplicity in life in general and with their idolatry and their many gods, as opposed to Klal Yisrael, who understands that even though there is ribui and multiplicity in the world, yet it all comes from one Hashem, from one creator of the universe, something that could not be understood by the ancients and by the Egyptians. In a similar approach to what has been tried previously, I would like to suggest my own answer as to why the change in the Sukkim came. And that is because there is a notion as well that I have developed and also learned from that beautiful Haggadah, Marvel Saper, of Shinui and Seder in both Yetzias Mitzrayim and also in the night of Pesach, Leil Pesach. We see that, we know the Ribbono Shel Olam runs the world with a Seder, with a certain orderliness to creation, a Seder HaDvarim. And yet, we also know that with the Makos especially, there were Shinuyim that were put into nature. Incredible Shinuyim. And that showed God's greatness, that He could both have a Seder, an order of things, and yet also implement Shinuyim when they were needed within that proper context of a Seder. And so too, on Pesach night, we have a Seder, as it says, Kadesh Rochatz, and so on. There is a Seder Advarim. And yet, as the Rambam says himself, in the laws of Hilchot Chametz Umatzah, the Rambam says there, Bitzarich Adam La'asot Shinui B'layla Azeh. The Rambam says that one has to make changes, do things differently on this night. Kadesh Yiru Abanim B'Yishalu, so that the children will ask questions as a result of seeing these things. I heard once that Rav Chaim Soloveitchik walked in to his Seder wearing a pot on his head, a pot. Why? So the children would ask questions. Because the Rambam holds it's not just a mitzvah to do these things in particular areas of ritualization of the night of the Seder, but throughout the Seder, whatever shinuyim you can do to create curiosity is itself part of the mitzvah. And then they'll say, Ma nishan alay lazen, in regards to the things we have formally in the liturgy, and also they shall do so at other occasions as well, as it says, to give them nuts, to give them candy, and so on at the table, and steal matzah from each other, or grab matzahs from each other. All this is in order to create a sense of shinui, seder and shinui, that reflects Yetzias Mitzrayim. And of course, this is the greatest symbol of freedom you could have. Because what is the whole issue of creating shinui within the Seder, both then and especially the Seder night, It's in order to arouse the children to ask questions, and asking questions is not only the major element in Talmud Torah, to ask, to dig, to ask kashas, to deal with terutzim, but furthermore, it is the greatest sign of freedom that one can ask questions. One could not ask questions in Nazi Germany. One could not ask questions in Russia. One cannot ask questions today in Iran, when you have dictators who decide what the philosophy of the nation is going to be, and anyone who asks any questions will simply be killed. It is the greatest sign of freedom that one has the ability to ask. And thereby we do the shinuyim, true within the context of a Seder, but in order that we ourselves will experience the freedom of being able to intellectually engage in the act of questioning. And so to here, I would suggest that immediately when we say the Ma Nishtana, that shortly afterwards we incorporate into the very fabric of the Haggadah liturgy itself this notion of shinui, by actually Chazal doing it, not us, by Chazal actually from the Mechilta we saw, the Yerushalmi, engaging in changes in the very fabric of the text in order to accentuate this theme of the necessity for shinui, even within the Seder HaDvarim, even within the notion of you're being told about the Banim, and these are the Psukim that go with them, even within that clear-cut Seder, within that context, if it's done properly, one can indeed also incorporate other thoughts and ideas that are valuable to the lessons of the Arba Banim, and that, I would suggest, is another possible answer to our query. I would like to conclude with a thought which is expressed in another beautiful Haggadah by Rabbi Jonathan Sachs that he says concerning the Arba Banim. And then I will support him with something we have in our Haggadah text and in the Mechilta Yerushalmi that we saw. Rabbi Sachs says that it could be that it's not four sons that the Torah is speaking of per se, but that it's one son. And that the reflection of the four sons is upon the intellectual growth of a child throughout his life. So that we see, for example, going backwards, as the way we have it in the Haggadah, because we wanted to give preeminence to the notion of the Chacham and wisdom, but nonetheless, if you go backwards, we have a child beginning as a She'eino Yodei Lishol, someone who doesn't know how to ask. Then he becomes a Tam as he goes on in life. He can ask a little more, but he still really doesn't understand. Then he becomes a Rasha when he hits his teenage years, as we all know. Teenagers, and Rabbi Sachs even says beautifully, the word na'ar, which we refer to as a teenager in Hebrew, lina'er, he says, means to shake off. And a person who is a na'ar, a teenager, shakes off kind of the elements of tradition and heritage at that time in his life from which that he has received from his parents. They are challenging years until finally he understands the deeper notions of Torah and he becomes the Chacham. And we know that when we speak of a Chacham in Judaism, we often speak of a Talmid Chacham. And this is what we strive to be, Rabbi Sachs says, going through the different levels of our development. In fact, I would support him, as I pointed out, by the fact that the Haggadah says, and the sources say, Arba Banim Heim, there are four children. Echad Chacham, Yechad Rasha, Yechad Tam, Yechad Sheino Deh Lishol. One is a Chacham, one is a Rasha, one is the Tam, one is the one who does not ask. What is all this one, 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 one? Just say, there are Arba Banim. Chacham, Rasha, Tam, Veino Sheino Deh Lishol. What's this? Echad, 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 Echad. Exactly, I would like to say, as Rabbi Sachs is saying, this supports his view, that it's all one. It's not four different sons. It's all one son, and it's conveying his growth as he goes from childhood to manhood. And as he does so, we indicated, hopefully he ultimately becomes a Talmid Chacham. And this may include, as we said, not only children, but different types of individuals. We may all become in our lifetime people who at sometimes we are so shocked by things that we see in life that we are in Sheino Yodei Lishol. We don't even know what questions to ask when we see such terrible things that happen in our society. And then we may be a Tom. Sometimes we can ask the question, but we really can't feel we can go any deeper than that. Sometimes we have our own rishus inside of us internally, where we feel, what is this for with all the evil in the world? Why even do mitzvot if a person's going to die was a tzaddik? Why even do these things? Why even be toreach? Why even try? What's it all for? What's it all worth? And yet ultimately we hope to reach the level of the Chacham, the Talmid Chacham, as Rabbi Sacks says. The Talmid Chacham, as we know, we say a wise disciple, indicating that Rabbi Sacks says the notion that the person is always a disciple in Judaism, always learning, always a student. But I would like to question that translation of a wise disciple. I was taught by Rabbi Kahn from Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan that really Talmid Chacham does not mean a wise disciple. It means a disciple of someone who is wise, because as he pointed out in the plural, it's not talmidim chachamim, it's not wise students, as Rabbi Sacks would suggest, but it's smichut, it's talmidei chachamim, which means students of the wise. And the goal in Yiddishkeit is for one to always attach himself to a mentor, to a Rebbe, to a Rav, to someone who can help lead him through the different ways of understanding Torah in the greatest levels possible to ultimately reach that level of being someone who is wise. In so doing, we can hope that the Pesach night with these different approaches of the Arba Banim can help us to better understand this as a conversation between the generations of children and adults and all those who are at the Seder. And thus the vision of Shabbos HaGadol is put forth in the Haftorah. V'heishiv lev avot al banim, v'lev banim al avotam. That the hearts of fathers shall turn to the children, and of children shall turn to the fathers. There are sometimes fathers, as is often the case, who are responsible along with the mothers for making the children into frum Jews. But it is sometimes where it is the children, because of their dedication and their example, that they make the parents become frum Jews and return them to Yiddishkeit. May all of this happen, lifnei bo yom Hashem agadol v'hanora, before the great and wondrous day of redemption for Klal Yisrael. And may it be that just as we were redeemed once in our going out of Egypt, that as Chazal tell us, that just as we were redeemed in Nisan for the first redemption, so too for the ultimate redemption will we be redeemed in Nisan. And may this happen, b'mheira b'yameinu.